Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. My focus of attention this week is a local newspaper that has just celebrated its 30th anniversary. The Finn Valley Voice was set up in 1994, and uniquely in Ireland, its four directors are all women: Celine McGlynn, Catherine McGovern, Eileen Griffin, and Anne McMenamin. Based in Balbuffet, it has prided itself as being a voice for the local community and has seen a lot of changes down through the years. Well, I went over to their offices on Navanie Street recently as they held an open day to mark the 30th anniversary. The first edition of the paper was published in September 1994, but the origins of the paper date back to June of that year, when the then president of the Chamber of Commerce, Susan McGonigal, had a simple but powerful idea. Celine McGlynn, the paper's editor, takes up the story.
It came about quite by accident. I had a friend of mine, Angela Houlihan, had said to me in conversation, she said, "Celine, I hear there's a newspaper starting in the town." And I had written a few poems, so I considered myself a writer. And Angela was telling me how she'd been in Sweeney's Bar in Stenorler with Susan McGonigal, who was then president of the Chamber of Commerce. And Susan had passed a remark at some of their meetings. Susan had just said, "Wouldn't it be great if we had a paper in the Twin Towns? It would be a great addition to the Twin Towns." And that was all she said. And Angela had picked up that, oh, there is a paper starting. So I went then. The FAS office was here with Sean O'Kane and Filipina Peoples. And by nature, I wouldn't put myself forward. I'd be quite shy, naturally. But I went to the FAS office and I said, "I hear there's a paper starting in the town, and if there is, I would like to be part of it." And then a few days later, I met Susan outside Kevin Donnelly's shop in Snorler. And I said to Susan, Is there a paper starting in the town?" And Susan says, "Well, no, there isn't, but would you be interested?" And I said, "Yeah, I would. I think a paper would be fantastic." And I was interviewed for my role in the paper, and it was just me, so we needed someone else. And the other person was Darren Foy.
So the idea came to life. They started sharing resources with the Tourist Information Office, located in the old Ritz Cinema premises in Balbuffet.
We set up, and I knew absolutely nothing about papers. Darren was working as a photographer, so he had some idea of the industry. And we literally started by ringing up people we knew. I rang Connie Duffy. "How do you make a newspaper?" Darren rang people that he knew. And we contacted the Derry Journal. Amazing help from the Derry Journal, who were our first printers of the paper.
Originally a FOSS scheme with Ethel Gordon as the supervisor, a core team was formed. The current directors, Celine McGlynn, Catherine McGovern, Eileen Griffin and Anne McMenamin, came together to launch the paper with Lisa Burkett, now an artist, and also photographer Jared McHugh. Today, the Finn Valley Voice continues to thrive with a dedicated team that includes Rose McNamee, Kathy McShay, Mary Lamb, Anne-Marie Sweeney, Pat Holland and Chris McNulty, alongside the directors.
So there's a team of 10 now You yourself, Chris, were part of that original story.
So that's how it all began. Now tell us about getting out the first issue, because like any job, there's a lot more than meets the eye, and I'm sure there was some midnight oil burnt.
There was lots and lots of late nights. And we had, for that first issue, one computer.
Well, back then, producing the paper was a monumental task. Before the digital era, stories, ads and photographs were physically cut and pasted onto boards with spray glue to create a full-size layout. These pages became the plates used on the printing press. And the team remembers Ethel Gordon for her support in helping to type up those first editions. And also the late John McManus of the Derry Journal, who handled their first print runs.
And it was cut and paste. And if there was an error, you actually had to print out an E or an F and stick it on. So it was very precise work of putting it all together, and very meditative work as well, like just getting it on the page to look nice. But we eventually moved on, and I think we might have been one of the first papers in the county to actually go digital. So that was a huge learning curve as well.
So just to explain that, the years ago when you started, each page that a person sees, you actually had it up on a board, and you're sticking the headlines, you're sticking in the paragraphs, you're sticking in the photographs, and then a camera shot was taken of that, and that went off, and each individual plate was made for the printers, whereas on digital it's all on screen. But let's go back to the first edition. Tell us what date did it come out?
The first edition came out on the 7th of September 1994. Our daughter got married on the 5th of September, just this month. So that's why our celebrations are a little bit delayed.
Now, what stories were sort of making the headlines back this time 30 years ago?
The headline story 30 years ago was Albafey and Stenora development coming together at a meeting in Jackson's, and over 60 business interests were represented at that meeting, and wonderful people like Monsignor Dan McDyer, Michael McClune, the county manager at the time, Sergeant Michael Murphy were at that meeting, and they came together in an effort to source funding to improve the amenities in the town here. So, and that's mostly what we have been about, or a lot of what we've been about over the years, is trying to promote the town and make it a better place to live, work.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been a very positive ethos about the paper, recognising people who are doing good for the community.
Absolutely. And that first paper as well, we had a story about Pat Tierney, who at the time was dying with AIDS. And I remember going to Glantys, to the Highlands Hotel, to interview Pat as a completely inexperienced and totally naive interviewer. But I remember being with Pat and just having this feeling of the privilege of hearing his story and the responsibility of writing what he said. And all mostly down through the years, I try to keep myself out of the stories and just try to write what people want to say and what needs to be said and what's important. And Pat eventually passed away. But it was that idea, like, to read about people who had AIDS. Meeting Pat was a completely different experience. You know, meeting somebody who was living with the disease at the time.
A nostalgic night at Butthole, that was one of the stories in the first edition. And in many respects, the Finn Valley Voice, it's constantly recording local history.
It is a vast repository of the life and times of this area, and we are so proud of it. We're so proud that we took the time to record what was happening here, because a local paper is a very precious thing in that we can actually go into the nitty-gritty of everything that's happening in the area.
And when people look at things, and I'm sure you've had people coming back to you, and the feedback that you get, you know, when you actually see something in print, I mean, it's there forever.
Absolutely. I know there's an awful lot of talk now about everything going online, and I just think there's a completely different engagement with the written word than there is to the written word in an online environment, which is very special as well. I mean, I think technology is fabulous, and what it can do is fabulous if it isn't abused. I mean, there's nothing bad about technology. It's how you use it that matters. But there is something very, very precious about these old editions. They bring us back to the people we were then and the time that was then. And to look at these pictures now and to see some of these people are no longer with us. And it's even more important now that we took the time to do that then.
And also that there's pictures of young people who may have been kids here at some Finn Valley athletic event or something, and now, well, they're adults, they're married, they've kids, they've moved on, and, you know, it's nice to look back.
Yeah, like the main picture on our first paper was Donna Callaghan from Gillygordon, and she's Little Miss Mary from Dunloe. Jared McHugh took the photograph, and I think she's about four in this, you know, so, no, she's an older woman now, like she's 34 or whatever, but just lovely to have her. And we have Aidan O'Shea, teacher at St. Columbus College, who did huge work. He was just returning from a refugee crisis in Uganda for that story there by Lisa Burkett. And we did a lot of work too in the arts. The team decided that we would always have an arts page in the paper, so that writers, painters, poets, playwrights would have a forum to promote their work. I felt that was very important. And I remember, and I think it was on Highland Radio I heard, too, not long before we started the paper, there was a writer on Highland Radio, and I can't acknowledge who he was, because I can't remember who he was, but I do remember what he said. And he said, if people don't have a voice, they go mad. So it influenced our choice of title for the paper and influenced the decision to always have an arts page, that the writers and artists would have a voice as well as the business people and the politicians and people who were trying to make changes in our surroundings.
And likewise, when people pick up the Finn Valley Voice over the years, they know there's going to be news, there's sport, there's arts. And then there was a number of sort of regular columns and contributors and the likes of Pat Holland, who, you know, you knew there was going to be something there every week.
Pat Holland's contribution to the Finn Valley Voice has been immense. His Drumbo Woods section, scientific analysis of the wonderland that is Drumbo Woods, is required reading for many, many people, as is his history of the Twin Towns. For a man like Pat, who is not actually from here, he has a huge interest in the history of the area, and I know his Wee Scientist is also required reading. My own children love the Wee Scientist.
Now, tell me a little bit, as the paper progressed, obviously it started off in black and white. Most papers around the country were black and white, so the step to colour was a big thing. It started to come in, and a lot of the papers, you know, it was a case of maybe 4 pages or 8 pages. There was a limited amount of colour. It was an extra cost, but then you could recoup a little bit back through advertising. But if you show a paper now to somebody and it's not colour, you know, it does look old-fashioned.
It does. And our first colour was actually just the masthead. I think that was the first thing that went colour. And those milestones too were very exciting. And as you say, there was a few pages in colour and some of it was black and white, and then it became fully colour like everything else. But there's also something about the black and white, there's something timeless about that as well, that I find very non-distracting, and that you can focus on the story, because we live in a world now that is fueled by images. And sometimes I feel it's nice to have the black and white.
And tell us a little bit about the paper put together here in Balbofay, but it's not printed here and it was never printed here. Just the whole process of getting the product to the printer, and that's where a lot of the late hours come in. Maybe if there's a big story, if there was something big on that week, it meant working late into the night.
We don't burn the midnight oil now so much, but we have worked through the night on many occasions in the early years, because there is a deadline. There is no way out. You have to finish it. Well, once we went digital, it was always sent
online.
But we would have had to take the pages to the printer. They would make photographs of them and wait till it was printed, bring it back, and the four of us would go around all the shops and distribute it.
And on publication day, always a little bit of excitement. You know, the bundle comes and you open it up here in the office, and then people around the town, they're going into the local shop. Is the paper in yet? And there's that surprise, because you know what's in the paper, but the public don't.
It's sometimes nice to just think about, and I think we always did that, what will this mean to someone who reads it? And those decisions would inform everything I do. How will someone feel if they read this? What will they think? What is exciting too is that maybe a story that you didn't think would cause any furore at all, it's actually maybe people do resonate with it and you get a lot of feedback.
Celine McGlynn there, the editor of the Finn Valley Voice. Join me again after the break when I'll be speaking with the other directors of the paper, which has just celebrated its 30th anniversary.
If your small business has undertaken a Green for Business, Green Start or SEAI energy audit, you're eligible to apply for an energy efficiency grant aimed at reducing the impact of enterprises on the environment. The scheme from Local Enterprise Office Donegal supports all aspects of sustainability, including water, energy and the circular economy. Continue your sustainability journey at localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Welcome back to Business Matters here in Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore, as we continue our look at the 30 years in business of the Finn Valley Voice newspaper. Earlier we heard from Celine McGlynn, the editor. Next up, at the open day to celebrate the 30th anniversary, I spoke with another of the directors, Catherine McGovern, a native of Cavan. She's always had an interest in the media and has been very much to the fore on the advertising side of things in the business, which is so crucial. But as she told me, they all do help each other.
I suppose being a small newspaper, we all get involved in every aspect of it. I suppose that is the advantage of working in a small company. I remember back talking to, we used to get printed in the Anglo-Celt in Cavan, and they were saying how lucky we were because everybody knew all aspects, where there would have a lot of staff, but they would only know their own. So if there was something happened, there was a big lull you know, that that was, so that's the advantage of a small company.
So multitasking is a word that can be applied.
Yes. And I suppose as it got on and it became more and more that you got involved in whatever.
Advertisements vital for the revenue for a newspaper, and over the years things have changed in how you get the ads. A lot of telephone work, then you need to get logos and images and things like that. And now the fact that people can email you in as opposed to you maybe going out and collecting things, some things have got a lot easier.
Much easier. It is so, it's so hard to believe the physical work you had to do, going out, talking to people, then asking them to drop in maybe logos and whatever. Now it's email and it's there before you finish the conversation.
No doubt in the early days, maybe they didn't even know what in their head what they wanted the ad to look like, and you maybe had to sort of give them a little bit of guidance. Now there's templates and people can adjust a previous ad quite quickly. So I suppose the end product is that the actual standard of advertising, the actual ads that you get in the paper now, and with colour as well, they're so much better.
It's incredible. When we started, it was actually black and white. So I remember when we started our colour, it was phenomenal. You know, it made things much, much better. And as well as that, taking even the obituaries, that actually was, and now people don't want black and white, they want the colour. It's just changed so, so much.
Now, you have a lot of regular advertisers, some who've probably been on board pretty much from the very beginning, and the fact that they're still there, you know, that shows they're getting a return on their ad. They know people are going to see it. And then also, features play a big part in the paper, and that means ringing around and you get your goodwill and support ads. And you know, sometimes it's those features people look back on. It could be a local team winning something or a drama award. And sometimes they're one of the most rewarding parts of the paper.
Yes, features are great. The people read them. They read the story. They see the photographs, even in business as well as in sport. And it introduces the business to the community as opposed to just an ad. I always think that it's a very good thing for a business to actually take a feature out. And then it's cost effective because people want to wish people well.
And over time you build up a rapport with many of those advertisers and they can pick up the phone, they come on to you. Sometimes they might want to repeat an ad that maybe it wasn't in for a year or whatever. But because you have that local knowledge as well, you know, that helps everybody.
It does. And that's the good of technology again. You have it at your fingertips as opposed to going through papers and all the physical stuff that you would have to have gone through in the past.
Now, during the boom, the Celtic Tiger times was a great period for newspapers and advertising, and there was an awful lot of property and motoring and jobs. Then after the crash, you know, it was difficult for a period of time, but maybe being a local paper, you've great loyalty there, and you know, that is so important.
It is very, very important. We're very, very lucky here in the Finn Valley, and now that we have extended out, Letterkenny is very supportive of us as well. Convoy, Raphoe, Lifford, we have a big advertisement base, really. The advertising is growing all the time in different areas.
We mentioned earlier, teamwork's so vital. It's a small team. You're all beside each other for much of the day in the office, and sometimes somebody else has to help out. You could be tied up on the phone. But, you know, that's one of the reasons for your success here is just having that great team.
It is. We're 30 years, we can't believe it. And I think the last person of the team in here was 18 years ago. So we know each other very, very well. We're like a family. Like we're just the Voice family, really.
And at the beginning, it was monthly, if I'm right. Yes. So the step then to go, was it fortnightly?
Yes,
and then
fortnightly.
Weekly? So each time you made that jump, that was a big decision.
A big, big decision. I think the monthly was okay, and that was grand. Then we went fortnightly. But the weekly one did make a big difference, but it was better. It was a great step to do.
What about the day of the week for publishing? Has that always been the same?
We were on Thursday at one, and then we went to Wednesday. I think it probably was when we had a change of printers. That's what, but we stayed with Wednesday because it is the best for a weekly paper.
And finally, Catherine, little did you think 30 years ago that there was going to be 30 years ahead in the newspaper business. The paper has proved itself. It's been a great success story. And who knows what lies in store?
It is amazing to say we're here 30 years on. Time seems to vanish. And it is great. And it is a great business to be in. You meet new people. And you're helping. People coming back to us with different things that we have done in the paper for them, and it's great satisfaction too.
And that was Catherine McGovern. Well, Eileen Griffin has also been there for 30 years since coming on board as a director, and so much has happened, yet much of it seems like only yesterday.
Yes, the time has flown. We started off when the children were very small, and now they're all adults, and we worked. You know, there's hard work of keeping both sides going at the one time. And technology changed along the way, and we had to learn lots of different things. And when I got to know them, it changed again to something better. So we just went with the flow and learned how to do it.
You've got the head for the figures. I'm sure at the beginning, an awful lot of stuff had to be done manually, and that was very time consuming. And again, with software packages and things, many aspects of your job have... It might have become more complicated, but probably a little bit easier in some respects.
Yes, it has been easier now to work because you have it all on the computer, not having to keep all the papers and the paper trail. So, and even we all, correspondent with the bank, come invoices, come emails, it all works better together because it's all on hand.
And we've mentioned, you know, the importance of being part of a team, and you're all helping each other out, and everybody's skills complements somebody else.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody has their own talents here, and everybody does work, and most of us are mums, so we learn to compromise around all that, what suits people, and as long as the work's done, we can work it out. And thank God everybody gets on very well. We have our differences, but we come together as one and make it work through our own talents.
And how was it that you got involved yourself? I mean, how did you hear that there was a new paper starting up?
My youngest at that time was 12, and I wanted to get out to work, and I was told they were looking for a typist, and I said, okay, I can do that. And so that was my first introduction to Fun Valley Voice. And my husband was very involved in the football camp, so he had a lot of sports and football stuff going on, so I was doing it at home anyway, so all I had to do was tune in to the paper. That was my first step into the whole process and kept going.
The computers that you have in the office today are a far cry from what you started off. What was in the office on day one?
There was just one computer, a very old computer. And we borrowed another computer when I came up to near the time. And we did the cut and paste, which you had to type everything. And then if there was any mistake, you had to go and do it all over again. And I was a typist at that time. So it was a long hours and well into the night and the early morning shift to get it to the printers.
And simple things, well, we think they're simple now, like, say there's some local notes. Nowadays, people might email in local notes. Years ago, I'm quite sure you got a lot of hand-scribbled stuff through the door. You had to retype it out, and sometimes maybe even deciphering what was written there was an issue.
That was so true. People just dropped it off as a scribble, and you're saying, God, and there was no mobile phone. To go, can I check on me what's written here? You just go with the flow, and you kind of got to know people's handwriting as well and what it all meant. But it was nice to get it at the same time. You know, it was all local news, and it was nice for some people out there to read it, and we were delighted to get it at the same time, even though it was work.
And no doubt now, when you look back, there's an element of pride and satisfaction, because at the beginning, you don't know how something is going to go. So to reach 30 years is some achievement.
Yeah, it is some achievement. We do have to punch ourselves to think we've got here. It has been a lot of work, and we are the only own newspaper in Ireland, ladies, all girls, So it has been a lot of work, and it has been a lot of just making do and getting on with it and doing the hours and keep things going, basically. It's a lot of work, but it's all very interesting. It's lovely working with the public. You know, they really are great to just have the chat, and they can come on for the chat, and it's nice to see them. So it's a good community paper.
And the name says it all, Finn Valley Voice. I mean, you are a voice for the local community.
Yeah, I would like to think we are. Yeah, I would like that.
We're in the office here today on Navanay Street. There's people coming in. There's balloons up. There's past issues up on the wall that are framed. And today, you know, I suppose nostalgic day, and there'll be a lot of memories and maybe some faces dropping in that you haven't seen for a while.
It's just memories all around us as years passed of the papers and of the people coming on. You know, it's just... It's lovely, but people come in here and chat to us anyway. You know, we just come sit to the table and have a wee chat and get the thing done. We're very open to people come on, just home from home sort of thing.
And finally, are you looking forward to the next 30 years?
I don't know if I'll get that far. We'll just take every day as it comes.
Eileen Griffin there. Finally, I also spoke with Anne McMenamin, the photographer with the Finn Valley Voice, and another of the directors. And she told me how it all began for her.
I met Celine in Letterkenny one day, and she said, "We're starting a paper, would you like to come?" And I said, "Yep." So I went and joined.
And you always had an interest in photography?
Yeah, for a long time, yeah. And I worked with the Democrat at the time, but just one day a week. So it was, I went and joined The Voice and been here since.
Now, it can be very rewarding being a photographer because you are recording events at a particular period in time. You've met plenty of characters down through the years, and indeed you've had your own books. So, you know, when you look back on these last 30 years, many fond memories.
Yeah, I've always loved history, and for me, photography is recording history, and it's something there that when I'm long gone, it's going to be there, you know, and it's a record of what the town was like and the people and events and all. So in that sense, that's very rewarding for me to do this and to keep a record of life and, you know, in this area.
One of the things that has probably changed the most, when you started off, you needed a dark room, developing your own photographs in black and white, not knowing if they were going to come out. Nowadays, you can go out and take hundreds of photos in a couple of minutes. So what a contrast.
Yeah, I hated dark rooms. I hated them with passion. I seemed to spend hours and hours in there just developing films. And if you didn't get the timing right, you either overexposed it or underexposed it. And it was just then. And so, I was thinking, God, the day digital cameras came in and got rid of all that. And it's like, it's great to sit at a computer and you can talk to people and, you know, while you're doing it, instead of being closed in with all these fumes, chemical fumes.
In some respects, everybody's a photographer now that we've all got our mobile phones, but not everybody has the photographer's eye. And that's where you can really tell it. You can see something and you know this is going to be a good picture.
Yeah, I think you have to think about a photograph. It's all right just to go and take it, but it's good to think about what you want to say. It's like a story. A picture can tell a thousand words, you know. So I find that just try to do something different, and you know, and sometimes I achieve it, and sometimes I don't. But I give it a go anyway.
When you're going out taking photos, sometimes it can be a chore. You can be hanging around at a meeting that's maybe dragged on longer than it should be. Other times it's joyous occasions. It could be an award ceremony or somebody winning a competition. There are sad occasions. There's funerals. So a huge variety out there, and you know, a great range of emotions even for yourself.
Yeah, it's you know, it's some of the events that you've been at have been really sad, but then there's been times when, you know, it's been joyful, like you say, where 10 people getting awards or just births or different things, you know, something that's really nice. So it sort of balances out.
And you've done both news and sport, and many of the most joyous occasions are sport and people winning things, and just the sheer emotion, and you can just see it in their faces.
Yeah, I'd be a Harps, Finn Harps supporter. Come on, Harps. But, I mean, you go through all sorts of emotions at a match. You're thinking, oh, put it in the back of the net. Particularly fond of going to a Harps match.
Four newspapers. Photographs are so important, and particularly, you know, the front page. Sometimes, no doubt, you would come and you'd say to Celine, I think I've got a great picture for the front page.
Yeah, that's happened a lot, but it hasn't always got on the front page. Like the other day there, Celine wasn't in, but yet she was dictating from the house that this other photo was going on the front page. And so,
but you know, it's a prime example of people have different opinions, and not everything can make it on the front page. And some weeks you could have four or five, maybe more photos that are all worthy of it, but, you know, a decision has to be made.
It's just compromising, and just, it depends on what the news is. And
and again, sometimes there can be one story that is totally dominant that week, and but the front page is one story. Mm-hmm. And other weeks, maybe, as the term goes, stand alone, that the photograph may have nothing to do with the actual story. But as you look back over the 30 years, and you must have taken thousands of photos.
Thousands and thousands. And I have them, most of them. I've lost an album with negatives, but hopefully it'll turn up. But yeah, I would have the first photo that I ever took, and I just kept them because it's a record. If I lose them, they're gone, you know. And so, I mean, there's a lot of photos that I took that never got in the paper. So I have them. So I try to keep them, and hopefully the earlier ones I'll catalogue them and say what they are, so that they're there, and maybe give them to the library or something, you know.
Many people recognise you from the Finn Valley Voice. So if you arrive at a function or something, oh, here's the photographer from the Voice, and you play a key part, because those people then will be looking to see their face in the paper.
I remember when I first week started to take photographs for the Democrat, and I turned up at a function to take photos, and I was saying, well, I was waiting there for ages, and I was saying to the man, can we start soon? And he says, oh, we're waiting for the photographer. And I says, I am the photographer. But I think it was the first girl photographer in the county. You know, there was no other girl, so it was a bit of a shock to him that I was there.
Anne McMenamin, the photographer with the Finn Valley Voice. So, a lovely local success story. On the day that I visited the Finn Valley Voice, there was a constant stream of people calling into the office to say hello and to congratulate all on the 30th anniversary. Well, as you have heard, the paper has a very loyal readership. Among those who popped in on the day was Rosaline Lynch, who had this to say.
The Finn Valley Voice has been part of our family for years from the beginning. My mum always got it every week. She was from Dewish, Valbavay. She was O'Donnell from Dewish. And any death or any business thing we would have had, it would have been in it.
And it's a great way of sort of, I suppose, keeping an eye on exactly what's happening in the local community.
Yes, it is. Even for deaths and stuff. I'm up actually to put my mum's anniversary card in, because we just do it, because she was from here.
And when you go through it each week between the photographs and the news, I mean, there's always something of interest.
Yes, definitely. Always something. And the ladies are lovely in here.
So it has that community feel, and, you know, over the years, you can drop in here at any time and quite welcome.
Yes, very much so. They're very helpful in everything they do. Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's just about it for this edition of Business Matters. My thanks to everyone at the Finn Valley Voice who made me so welcome on my recent visit. And who knows, I could be back over to do a follow-up for the 40th anniversary in 2034. If you want to contact the programme, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye, and I hope you have a profitable week ahead.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.